Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DCB Bank Con Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Murali M. Natarajan, MD and CEO, DCB Bank Limited, and Mr. Bharat Sampath, CFO, DCB Bank Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali M. Natarajan. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Natarajan.
Good evening, all of you. Thank you for joining this call. I'm talking to you from the boardroom where we have Bharat Sampath, our CFO, Mr. Satish, who is our Deputy CFO, Ajit, who is our Treasury and FI head. Then we have Praveen Kutty, who is our Head of Retail Banking, Venkatesh, who is our Head of Operations, HR and Technology. Then we have our CRO, Mr. Sridhar Seshadri. We kind of have a slightly bigger team and their team members. In the first few minutes, I will give you some highlights of our performance, and then we will open up to questions. First of all, our profit for the quarter is 113 crores, which is the highest ever that we have achieved in the last few years, probably in the history of DCB Bank, and we are very happy about that. We sincerely believe that the COVID-related challenges are behind us, although we still have to deal with some part of the NPA and the restructured book. Looking at the collection efficiencies of the book and looking at the way we have been performing on recoveries and upgrades, we believe that we are seeing a pretty strong momentum and performance. We are very happy to tell you that we have 400 branches now, and after some kind of a slow installation of branches during the COVID, we picked up some pace, and we would continue to operate in the 25, 30, 35 kind of branches per year. Our branches are continuing to show breakeven in about 22-24 months, so the model is intact. We have not changed our strategy. We have strong belief in pursuing small ticket secured retail SME, MSME strategy. Given that COVID has more or less receded, we are seeing definite uptick in demand in the products and segments that we are operating. Fourth quarter, especially February and March, has been pretty strong for us in terms of disbursal, and we are continuing to build frontline capacity to put the growth in a higher trajectory. Our intention is to double the balance sheet in between three and a half to four years. That's the kind of trajectory we want to put the bank. One of the things that I want to highlight is that I will again go back to our call. Maybe some of you were able to attend the call when the pandemic first in March 2020. We said very clearly that we have absolute confidence in our customer segment. Our operating profit is strong. Even if we have to make higher provisions, we are confident that we don't need to raise capital, and we'll be able to withstand these challenges posed by COVID. I don't believe that any bank would have shown almost 100% or higher. In fact, in fourth quarter, our recovery upgrade is 100% above the slippages. The slippages has a large part of gold loans, and gold loans is 100% secured. Barring gold loans, we are more or less back to similar level as pre-COVID in terms of the monthly slippages, while we are continuing to do a strong performance in recoveries and upgrades. So that is where we are. Our capital position is strong. We were not able to, in 1 year RBI had said that the banks cannot declare dividends, and next year we took a conservative approach. This year we have declared dividends of 1 rupee, and hope that situation continues to improve for us, and we are confident that kind of activities that we have done and the kind of investment we are putting, we will continue to build from here on. So those are some of the few thoughts that I wanted to share with you. I am happy to take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Darpin Shah from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers, first of all. So couple of questions. First is on the restructured book. A restructured book is still flat on a sequential basis. So if you can just highlight, sir, how much proportion of the book has, you know, ended the moratorium, what kind of, collection efficiencies are we seeing in specifically in the restructured book?
The collection efficiencies that we have presented to you in the press release includes the restructured book which is built. Customers who are in various degrees of moratorium, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, they keep coming into the billing cycle, and we are still able to achieve pretty decent collection efficiencies, including the restructured and delinquent book. If the restructured book under the RBI guidelines in COVID will remain as restructured, even if they are continuing to pay the restructured installments or whatever the payment plan is. They cannot be moved to a normal book. I don't think there is any provision to move that into a normal book. If once they move into some kind of delinquency or NPA, they are treated like any other NPA and take them the provision, recoveries and so on. So we are pretty confident about our restructured book. I don't have any concern. We have not restructured any unsecured book. So as they come out to billing and so on, they become NPA. That is not the case we have. We have only restructured secured kind of book, which is largely mortgages and SME.
Any number in terms of billing, if you can provide?
We don't give details on moratorium kind of book. All I want to say is that they are in different categories of moratorium, 3, 6, 9, 12. Shorter moratorium for commercial vehicles, slightly longer moratorium for home loans.
Fair enough, sir. So second question was in the GNPA breakup which we provide, I see, you know, SME GNPs are up sequentially. Any specific
to worry about? There is nothing to worry about on that. In November 12 RBI circular, they have said that in the past, customers' debits and credits have to be matched at the end of the year in the balance sheet. They changed the norm in November 12, saying that every 90 days, it has every day for the past 90 days, the debits and credits have to match. So there is a whole process of educating the customers on this new norm of Reserve Bank of India. In fact, the regulation itself says, please educate the customers, and we have been educating the customers that on an everyday basis, they have to clear up the previous 90-day debit. So we have had some challenges on those kind of customers, but they're all in good shape. There is nothing to worry about on that.
Okay. Bharat sir, just two data keeping questions for you. If you can provide the breakup of provisions and yield and cost of funds for the quarter.
The NPA provision, net NPA provision is 59 crores. As in every quarter, we have made 3 crores floating provision. 8 crores is standard assets provision, RBI mandated standard assets provision, And from restructuring provision, there is 3 crores reversal on accounts which got closed.
Okay, sir. And sir, yields and cost for the quarter? You have provided margins, but...
Do we provide those information?
We are not.
Huh?
Yields on advances is given in the presentation for the quarter.
So that is for the 0.06%. Full year.
Okay, okay, okay. So, quarter is not given. Okay. Yield on advances for the quarter is also 11%. And
11%.
Yeah, yield on advances for the quarter is 11%. And cost of funds is 6.04%.
Fair enough. I'll come in the queue. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Rasul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish Harish Baibua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. So, sir, just 2 questions. One is on the CV portfolio. Okay, so, you know, our total exposure is pretty small at around 4%. But when we look at the collection efficiency, you know, it's been a little sticky at around...
We lost you, Renish. We can't hear you.
Hello?
We can't hear you.
Could you repeat the question, please, Renish? We could not hear you.
Is it better now, sir?
Yeah, now better, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I was just saying that on the CV portfolio, you know, while our total exposure is only 4%, but when we look at the collection efficiency of 85%, which has been sticky for last 4-5 months, so can you throw some light on the current status of this book?
See, there is. We are only originating 20-25 crore of new loans in commercial vehicles.
Right, sir.
So therefore, in some ways, it's a declining portfolio. In a declining portfolio, the good portfolio pays, the bad portfolio is staying. Despite that, our collection efficiency is coming at about 85%. Second point that I would like to tell you is that more or less the slippages versus recovery is matching on a month-on-month basis in commercial vehicles. And what we believe is that as we see the portfolio, we do the reviews of collection and all, we do see that we should be able to continue to do better in recoveries and upgrades, although there may be some slippages. The 85% collection ratio is clearly on account of somewhat kind of because of the declining type of portfolio.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, second question is on the disbursement number which we provided in the press release. So I think under co-lending, we have disbursed close to 20 billion odd. So incremental growth in Q4 may be largely driven by the co-lending. So if you can throw some light in which...
No, not necessarily. The co-lending part is largely, you know, gold loans. So gold loans, as you know, has a very high repayment rate, right? Our growth is showing up pretty well because if you look at our mortgage numbers, it is now almost 1,000 crore we are showing, and we are likely to do far better in the coming months if everything goes well, right? We also are likely to do well in AIB products, which is KCC tractors and all, because we have built some capacities. Of course, as you know, quarter one is always a kind of a you know, not so great quarter for most banks because of holidays and so on. But the way we are building capacities, we are pretty confident that we are putting it in a good trajectory.
Got it. Look, I wanted to get a sense that since it's a bit chunky in nature, if we didn't get this kind of a business under co-lending in Q1, then there will be a risk on the growth. So I just wanted to get a sense on that.
Co-lending is only one part of our strategy. It is not our main strategy. I don't believe that any one particular co-lending entity will contribute more than 5% of our entire portfolio. Right?
Okay.
And co-lending we are doing essentially at the moment in only gold loans. And gold loan itself has certain seasonality and certain characteristics which it's not uniformly high or low dispersal like that keeps happening in gold loans. Right? You may have observed that in gold loan companies itself. Right?
Correct.
Therefore, see, co-lending is only one part of it. We have now, see, co-lending and spreads is the two important products that we have added in our suite of products this year. Mortgage will continue to be our mainstay, and we expect mortgage currently, which is almost at 48% including AIB, could well go beyond 52-54% by end of the year. That's the way we are thinking about it.
Got it. And so just the last question from my side, a bit on the strategy side. So we have now closed this year on a 1% ROA. What could be the journey from this level of ROA over next 2 to 3 years, sir?
Yeah, so the way we are seeing, I can only talk about how we are seeing it. We are making investments and we will make investments. Okay? And the investments will be in branches, which we have already said, 25 to 35 kind of branches. And we will continue to have, because we are doing granular portfolio, we will continue to add frontline staff, which is sales, credit underwriting, operations, those kind of people will be continuing to add in our book, which always has some near-term impact on cost income ratio, cost to average assets and so on. So we expect, in quarter one, given the interest rate movement, we may not have many opportunities in terms of treasury gains and all this year. I don't believe any bank would have that kind of opportunities. So I believe that we are on a path where we should be back to 50-55 basis points on cost of credit, because we are seeing pretty decent performance in our recoveries and upgrades, and the slippages on the main portfolios, which are essentially SME, mortgages and CV, are pretty consistently kind of coming down. So we have reasonable level of confidence in that. As far as NIMs are concerned, we are confident that we will operate in the 365 to 370 odd kind of range. If we do a better job on recoveries and upgrades, we may see some uptick in NIM, but I don't want to keep betting on that. That is one of the reasons why you see a NIM to be pretty strong this quarter, right? And but you know, when we are recovering, because you are having a secured loan book, when we do recoveries, we are able to get the past dues in terms of interest as well, which helps our cost in terms of the interest income and NIM. So my viewpoint is that in 3 to 4 quarters, our intention would be to consistently deliver 1% ROA and at least 12 to 14% ROE. That is our intention as we see the whole thing playing out.
Got it. Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for such a detailed answer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh MB from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congratulations on a great set of numbers. This is a similar question that we've been asking in the last few quarters. If you could kind of give us a perspective of how are you seeing the customer segments in terms of the recoveries that they're seeing in their business? And also, if you could kind of give us that into FY23, you think that the cash flows have kind of fully normalized for the borrower segment that you are working with?
I will ask my colleague Praveen. Of course, we do a lot of hands-on reviews on collections. But having said that, you know, Praveen, I mean, how are the cash flows? What is the kind of Praveen Kutty will help us.
Hi, Mahesh.
Hi, sir.
So what you're seeing right now is that the bounces are slightly elevated as compared to the pre-pandemic level. However, we're clearly seeing the repayment to be at the pre-pandemic level. So across the self-employed segment, new vintage, pre-pandemic book, in the period in between, we are seeing that the cash flow has come back to what was the normal before COVID hit us. In specifically in the secured products that we deal with, and we mostly deal with secured products. So whether it's LAP, home loan, and the CV that we currently do, you're finding it's coming back to normal. Equally importantly, when the disbursements that we did, if you were to see the texture and the cash flow which we have for fresh underwriting, we are saying that the kind of segment that we address, it's pretty much the way it was pre-pandemic.
And please comment also on the demand that is coming in SME, like enhancement kind of thing.
Yeah, you probably know this anyways, but if you see the trades in a credit bureau is at a never before high. Approval rates are not back to pre-pandemic levels across multiple products, but there is increased demand happening on the whether you take mortgage or you take practically every product, you find that the inquiries have significantly shot up, but approval rates are kind of still lagging behind. That seems to be a continuing theme as we go along.
And Ajit can comment on trends. I mean, what kind of demand are you seeing in trends? Ajit is our treasury and FI head who tackles the bids and trends.
Yeah. So one level of recovery, like indicative of recovery, is the business that we get kind of bill that get discounted on the trade. And that figure has been increasing over during the last financial year. Like earlier, when you make a best effort, you can discount a bill of 3 or 4 crore in a day. Now, with the best effort, now it comes to 6 or 7 crore. So this goes to show that they are having increasing sales and volume is increasing. So this is one of the surrogate indicator of recovery that is happening there. Thank you.
Thanks. Murali, just to kind of wrapping up this question, if looking at the fact that almost all the business seem to be kind of giving you fairly comfortable trends, you think that the acceleration of the loan book during the course of this year would be a little bit back-ended, or you think that you are ready to kind of push the pedal and get into a full gear beginning next quarter either?
See, as far as salespeople are concerned, everyone has put the foot to the floor, like, you know, they press the accelerator to the floor. Without, of course, compromising on operational risk and credit parameters and so on. I have never seen in banking first quarter to be great, although we always try to define, I don't understand why April cannot be like March, you know, I've never understood in all these years. But having said that, we have at the moment no hesitation. I don't believe that credit is concerned with any acceleration of loan book. Of course, we are not changing any parameters, we are not changing any credit policies, other than what we usually keep tweaking based on our own analytics and so on. So we have no hesitation in just keep moving forward at the moment.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Uttam Purohit from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Since we are, I have just a couple of questions. Since we are on track in terms of ROE, cost to income ratio at improving trend, can you throw some light on the long-term target to achieve, let's say, in our next 3 to 4 years?
See, boss, fourth quarter, kindly take a look at our results for the last 13 years, at least the last 10 years, if you like. Fourth quarter has always been very strong for us as compared to the first quarter. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is, in first quarter, we normally end up giving salary increase and all, which starts to impact us in first quarter itself. However, the balance sheet growth is not there to support that sudden cost increase. That is the first quarter. At times, we get benefit of treasury gains in the first quarter, which helps us to kind of offset this increase in cost in the first quarter. Fourth quarter is always very good because you have the full balance sheet, the thing, and also some of the income comes back-ended, especially in the PSLC, which is the priority sector lending kind of income. So I would like to believe that the kind of trajectory that we are setting in maybe 3 to 4 quarters, consistently we should be on a track to deliver over 100 basis point on ROA and in the range of 13 to 14% on ROE. Maybe there will be some aberration here and there in one of the quarters depending upon some items. Other than that, I think on a trend basis, that is what we are likely to see if we continue the same momentum what we are building.
Okay, thank you, sir. And we have grown our advances by 13% YOY. Could you help us understand, is it safe to assume similar growth going forward? And going forward, is it led by branch expansion or digital push?
It's a very big question. We have been investing in frontline people, sales people, operations people, credit people. So we are building capacity. Our intention is to double the balance sheet in between 3 to 4 years' time, which means that we are trying to put the bank on a 20% growth rate trajectory. That is what our intention is. Without any, hope we don't get into any disruptions of any kind. Other than that, it looks like the kind of capacity that we are building now should help us to achieve those kind of growth level. It will be a mix of digital, branch expansion, frontline expansion and so on. So I can't put a finger on exactly what will contribute to what.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congrats on a good set of numbers.
Yeah, thanks.
Basically, you know, if we look at last several quarters, right, our understanding is that not only this quarter, but even COVID was handled very well by the bank. And, you know, like you said in the beginning, that team has always been confident about the secured book and that has played out. And probably this quarter is just a reflection of all the hard work that has been, you know, done in past quarters. My question is, you know, although the operating performance has been good, markets don't seem to be as enthused, you know, on the valuation side. So what would be management's understanding of the situation in general? That is one. And secondly, do you think, is it partly due to, you know, slightly slower growth in the loan book in past, you know, several years?
Neither me nor management, I believe, understands the dynamics of how market thinks about stocks and understands these things. What we can comment is on our strategy and our performance and our opportunity. So, friend, I'm not able to answer that question.
Sure, no problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yatin Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on good set numbers.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. My question, first question is on the capital. So we have put in enabling resolution to raise 500 crore. So
sorry,
I just
sir,
as if, but
Mr. Kumar, but your voice is breaking, sir.
Yes. Would you like to speak directly into the mic or something? Maybe some distortion is happening.
Is it better now?
Yes, far better. Yes.
Yes, sir. So I wanted to inquire about the capital raising plan. So we have enough capital adequacy right now. So how urgent do we need that capital, or is it just an enabling resolution?
Bharat or Satish, would you like to answer that question?
It's an enabling resolution. If you see last few years, AGM notices, we have been taking it every year because QIP resolutions taken are valid for 1 year. And if in the event opportunistically we want to raise capital, then it shortens the time to complete the transaction.
Bharat, would you like to comment on our risk-weighted asset and the efficiency of that as well? Yeah.
Also, if you see for last few years, our risk-weighted assets increase in lower proportion as compared to the advances which go up, because a lot of our assets being secured come in at a lower risk-weighted asset. So capital utilization efficiency is very good, and that we have targeted for last 4-5 years. For example, gold loans which we do come in at 0% risk weight. Home loans come in 35%. Regulatory retail comes in at 75%. So all this helps us we are not large in corporates and also not large in off-balance sheet transactions. So these help us to grow but at the same time not consume capital very fast.
Yeah. So therefore, given the current capital adequacy that we are in, we are confident that if we maintain a growth trajectory, much of the accruals, profit accruals, will help us to achieve the growth. However, we do will look at you know, raising capital maybe 3-4 quarters down the line.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And sir, my next question would be, given rates are going up in the system, so how do we think on the NIMs going forward?
We believe our business model operates on a NIM range of about 365 to 375 basis points. We want to reach that steady state. This quarter has been very good, primarily because we have done a decent job on recoveries and upgrades, which also helped us in recovering some of the interest that we had to forego in the past. And also we are doing a decent job in terms of the CASA growth, which is also helping us slowly you know, bring down some cost of funds as well. So we believe that much of our portfolio is repriceable, barring say maybe gold loans and commercial vehicles, tractors. Most of our portfolios are either linked to EBLR or to MCLR, depending upon when they've been originated. So there will always be impact of raising interest rates, but we believe that we have gone through those kind of cycles in the past, so our NIM should be in that range.
Sure, sir. And any credit cost guidance for the coming year?
We can't give you a credit card guidance for a particular year, but what we believe is that in a steady state basis, hopefully in about 2 to 4 quarters, we will be on a 50-55 basis cost to average asset, which is what has been our performance for many quarters prior to COVID. And at the moment, our PCR is at 68%. And if you back off the gold loan NPA, it's actually at 72%.
So that kind of PCR we will like to maintain going forward, or we want to increase it, or?
We don't have any guidance on what kind of PCR we maintain. All we know is, given our loss given default experience, we believe that we are in very good position in terms of NPA coverage.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishnan ASC from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, Murli. So my question is to do with just, you know, competitive, positioning of DCB over the past couple of years, and maybe that could hold an answer for what gives investors a little more comfort. Just on how DCB can stay relevant from a 3 to 5 year perspective. You're making a lot of investments, but are you seeing evidence that a lot of that, 20% growth that you are aspiring to is with existing customers rather than having to run on the treadmill to keep acquiring new customers? The reason I'm asking that is you do a lot of work with your clients. You do a lot of secured lending. You kind of cultivate that credit culture, and then somebody is able to pull it away. Is that a risk you see for most mid-sized banks, including yourself?
That kind of risk, if that is a risk, that kind of risk exists for a lot of NBFCs, and they may be thinking that we are eating their lunch after they cultivate the credit. That's the way the ecosystem works, if you want to call it like that. We have a very clear idea of what we want to target, and we have not strayed away from that at all. Our ticket size is 30-40 lakhs. We do see competition. We see competition of NBFC. We see competition of small finance banks. At times, we do see competition of either public sector or HDFC, ICICI and all. But given that the size of this segment, the SME self-employed segment itself is large, and we have decent products, we have decent experience, we have continuing to improve our sales strength, we are pretty confident that we will remain relevant. And you know, it's very difficult to answer these questions because they asked the same question in 2009, how are we relevant? We are now standing at 45,000 crore balance sheet. At that time, our balance sheet was 5,000. Maybe this question will be asked when we are at 90,000 few years down the line. We'll still answer the same way.
I understand. Many thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Arora from Sterling Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Thanks for the hi, Murli. This is regarding this. I just want to understand this segmental revenue in the corporate and wholesale banking. There is some 29 crore odd loss is there. So, have we made some extra provisions there, or why is that item coming?
I'm grateful that you look at the segmental this thing. I don't look at it at all. Okay, I just follow whatever RBI says in terms of how to classify all that, and I present it. Okay, so I really can't answer that question of yours. You can ask me any other question which is related to the press release and investor presentation.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening.
Hi.
So congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I wanted to understand, if you can share the loan book breakup by benchmark, how much is fixed, how much is floating, and how much is EBLR linked?
We don't present that detail. I'm really sorry about that. We have given you a flow chart on, pie chart on the various products. So you can safely assume that mortgages are either linked to EBLR or MCLR. Some part of the mortgage book could be fixed for maybe let's say 6 months or 1 year because you've just acquired, and then later on they will move to EBLR. As far as SME, MSME is concerned, they are linked to EBLR. Kisan credit card is linked to EBLR. Tractors, CV and all will be fixed rate. Am I right, Rory? So fixed rate. So, MFI, BC will be, MFI definitely is BC portfolio is anyway a fixed rate. So that is how it is. So you can make your estimate on that basis.
Right. Okay. And sir, secondly, we have seen a 50% QOQ and similar YOY growth in disbursement. But if I look at the fee, YOY it is declined, the core fee, and QOQ is only up maybe 5%.
Year on year fee comparison may not be correct because in the first quarter, in the last year we had a lot of treasury gains because the interest rate was moving in the right direction.
Yes.
What
was
talk about?
Yes. Lower interest.
Sorry?
It was lower interest.
Yeah, the interest rate was moving in the right direction for us, right? So in this year, the one-time treasury gains are much less than what we had last year, and probably next year, in the coming year may not have anything at all. So if you back that off, core fee income, including this quarter, is showing a very healthy trend for us.
No, so I was looking at the commission, exchange, and brokerage. So we can leave treasury and maybe exchange transaction. So even the core EEB. Is down YOY and is only up 5% QOQ. So, just wanted to check the disbursement that we...
But you have to remember that this year, first 4 months, there has been no disbursement at all, right? We didn't have any disbursement in the first 4 months. In the sense, very limited disbursements we had. So to that extent, the disbursement number also, we can only compare quarter on quarter of last year versus this year. Last year, fourth quarter, till about 25th or 27th of March, we were still active, before which the second wave started impacting us.
All fees linked to disbursement.
Yeah, and all fees linked to disbursement. So what I want to say is, we have looked at the core fee trajectory. And we are pretty confident that it is mirroring the underlying business performance and the customer acquisition.
Understood. And just a general thought on, we are clearly in the rising rate environment. And do you see a change in the behavior of your underlying customer in rising rate, particularly with terms of balance transfer? Is it beneficial, or is it just that you have to work more harder to for the customer retention?
See, we have managed this business in the last several years in rising rate, normal rate, declining rate kind of situation.
And in every situation, there are some challenges come. Sometimes in a declining interest rate also, you have challenges where, a customer wants to quickly do a balfa. But in a increasing interest rate situation, you also get some benefit because term deposit guys want to do a break of his term deposit and go to a higher rate where you get some benefit of the breakage. So all these factors are there. It's very difficult to kind of separate each of these factors. We have an anti-attrition team which looks at the portfolio. If a customer wants to exit, we have intervention strategies by which we are able to retain a lot of the customers.
Right. And the last question is, sir, on this gold loan that we acquired through co-lending, who is the predominant co-lending partner and what kind of a OPEX or risk sharing arrangement is there? If you can maybe broadly discuss, maybe who is the predominant partner? Is it digital only partner or, what kind of OPEX or risk sharing is there?
In co-lending, there can't be risk sharing. That is the RBI rule. If we take 20%, if we take 80% of it, if of the loss also, we have to take 80%. There's no FLDG concept at all in co-lending. Right, so we have gone with gold loan business where we have very reputed partners and the OPEX is very, very limited because we are operating with about a team of 4 or 5 people and it is purely digital. When I say digital means the entire loan comes to our book in a digital fashion. However, we have number of checks and balances which are done by us physically to assure that the agreed process controls everything is followed by our partner. That's the way we are running this model.
And would Rupeek be a significant partner here or this is...
No, we don't want to comment on any particular partner and all.
Sure, no worries, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, on a good set of number.
Thank you.
Sir, my question relates to, you got a slippage of 378 crore and you said that apart from gold loan, the slippage are now at pre-COVID level. Whereas gross NPA of gold loan are more of a similar quarter on quarter. So is that like a lot of loan got slipped in the during the quarter and got recovered also?
See, in gold loan, we offer overdraft facility, okay, which is a very unique product, which means the customer has to continuously keep servicing the interest, right? What happens is these are all small customers. We are talking about average ticket size of what, 2 lakh rupees and down, right? These guys usually come to us from a NBFC background where they may not have been in the habit of paying their interest on a monthly basis. So there is a huge amount of education and SMS and messages and all that kind of things we have to do because for this flexible facility of the overdraft, they also have to bring the discipline of paying it on a timely basis. So that whole process is continuing. We have hardly ever had any losses in our gold loan. Gold loan, you make a loss only if you have made a mess of the valuation or you have accepted some spurious metal. Other than that, we hardly ever face any challenge on NPA. So some amount gets recovered, upgraded, and then something else goes into the NPA. This just keeps happening on a regular basis.
Okay. And sir, this co-lending gross NPA and all are included in gold loan or where it is included?
I don't know where it is included, but we have not seen any dramatic problem with our co-lending NPA.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have one quick question. Just want to check. So firstly, is it possible for banks in India to do buybacks and with or without the permission of RBI or it's not really possible at all?
What is buyback?
Basically buying back your own stock from the market.
I have no idea about all this, frankly.
You are asking the wrong person. Ask about my bank and the performance. I am happy to answer.
So basically, it was in the connection that because we are trading at a significant discount to the book, is it more in terms of efficient from a shareholder perspective to buy our own stock because like it's trading at a substantial discount? So it was in conjunction with that, sir.
If you believe there is value, you should just buy it. That's all I can say. I can't talk about my stock or any stock for that matter. You know.
No. What I mean is, can the company buy back its own shares?
I have no idea. Yeah, but
Atul, for the bank, capital adequacy reduction. It will imply capital adequacy reduction, and you can't reduce capital adequacy without RBI permission. Even for Tier 2, which falls due and you are going to redeem, you have to take a prior approval from Reserve Bank before you redeem Tier 2. And I'm not talking about making a call. Okay, if you don't redeem, you will end up in a default. But still, you have to take RBI approval before you redeem. So RBI is not likely to allow buyback of shares, if I understand that correctly. Or at least at the minimum, we'll have to go to them. I don't see that happening.
Got it. Because so globally, banks are very well allowed to either pay dividends or do buybacks. So
here we are subject to Reserve Bank of India, sir.
Right.
Kind of regulatory landscape that we are in India, generally banks are not known to do that. To my memory, the time when I'm working in Treasury, I haven't seen it. So Bharat has answered that question. There is a no likelihood of we getting that.
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers.
Yeah,
which disbursement data that has been shared, if we compute the repayment rates in mortgages, it comes to around 25% plus. So is that number correct or is it something that we need to adjust in that? And if so, then
in this call, we won't go into all those details. I have given you a plan saying the kind of capacity we are building, we are likely to double our balance sheet in 3 to 4 years. Whether the disbursement data 25% aapko repayment aa raha hai, kabhi 20% aa raha hai, aap wo sab calculate kar lena. Theek hai? We know that the way we are operating, all our metrics seems to indicate that we will, in the array of products, in the mix of products, we are likely to be in a trajectory of doubling our balance sheet in 3 to 4 years and we will continue to build the capacity to achieve that.
Sure. And then secondly, we have added a good number of branches in 4Q, but other OPEX is still broadly flattish Q1Q. So was a part of that already built in terms of preparation for branch addition in 3Q or how should we look at the other OPEX trajectory going ahead?
I think the OPEX will increase, but what is, I think last year we probably had a one-off of OPEX in the fourth quarter on buying of some agri PSLC. We were short, we were not short, but we wanted to be more than adequate on agri PSLC, so we bought that. Instead of that, debiting expenses, RBI rules you have to actually debit your expenses. So that one off, if you remove, you probably will come to a cost increase which is fully reflecting the number of branches that we are putting.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, whenever we raise equity in future, is it fair to assume that dilution will happen only when the bank trades at least at one time book? I mean, this is similar to the buyback question earlier.
So the way we are looking at it is that we are working this bank towards the kind of metrics like doubling the balance sheet in 3 to 4 years, 100 basis point of ROA, anywhere between 13 to 14 basis, 14% of consistent ROE, and hopefully those kind of performance starts to reflect on whatever it needs to reflect on. At the moment, we are quite adequate on capital. When we see that the growth trajectory and our capital planning kind of comes in a situation where we need to raise capital, we will take a call at that point in time. Right now, I don't want to comment on what price we will do, what is the dilution. It's very early to comment on all this because right now we don't have any plans to raise capital.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Jain from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I have three questions. First question is, last three quarters, we're seeing a very healthy traction in CASA. So exactly what's happening there and how much of it is sustainable or is it driven more by chunky current accounts?
We don't have chunky current accounts, neither do we have chunky savings account. We don't work on chunky accounts because that will be detrimental to our LCR. So we are working on retail and natural person CASA. Praveen, you want to comment on that? Yeah, hold on. Our Praveen Kutty will comment on our approach to CASA.
Effectively, our target market, both on the asset side and liability side, are SME customers. Mostly these are proprietorships, small type businessmen who contribute to our savings account. We focus on individuals and proprietorships primarily for our current account and savings account. There are a few entities, LLPs and companies which come in, but they are far and few in between. We focus on very granular, secular, small ticket, large franchise customers to be acquired, and that's our that's the ideal way of growing our book. And now that we have presence in about 400 odd branches, that's where the momentum is coming from. There is very limited focus. Actually, there's no organized focus on getting current accounts of large corporates in our scheme of things. The other thing I want to point out is that DCB Bank has been approved by Ministry of Finance and subsequently by RBI. In the agency and government banking, we are granted the approval for collection of CBDT and CBIC, essentially GST and your normal income tax, GDS, PCS, etc. And for walk-in people. So work is underway to integrate with the CBDT and the CBIC system, which will further enhance primacy of DCB Bank account over multiple accounts.
Okay, all right. The second question was, so while obviously you're seeing a very healthy outcome on upgrades and recoveries, but in terms of flow of slippages, the gross slippages continue to stay elevated. And even time comment where you said outside gold loans, you're seeing all the other segments returning to pre-COVID levels. So even if I look at gross slippage ratio pre-COVID, they used to be lower than what you are reporting this quarter and last two, three quarters. So how should we understand this?
I don't know how you are calculating it. What is the basis of your calculation, if you can help me understand?
Yeah, sure. So the gross slippage number, which...
378. How are you calculating? Tell me.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The gross slippage, just 1 minute, yeah. So I'm just annualizing the gross slippage as percentage of previous advances.
378 crores, take out some 100 and 150 crores out of that for gold loans, which comes and goes because it's an OD product, right? And I told you that because these people have to fall in the habit of servicing it on a regular basis. It is fully secured. It's a zero capital charge product. So even if it becomes NPA, next quarter we just collect all three installments, he becomes upgraded and he starts operating the account. So the balance that is left would be about 100 and let's say even if you keep it as 200 multiplied by 4 is 800. 800 divided by, currently we are exiting at 29,000 odd crores. So that tells me that we are in the range of some 2.5% annualized slippage, which is what it was before. And that is why I made the statement that barring gold loans, we are pretty much back to similar levels as pre-COVID. I hope my calculation fits with you.
Okay, I understand that. So, what's happening in gold loans? So why, you see this kind of behavior?
What is wrong with gold loan is because if I give an OD product, the customer has discipline issues at 2 lakh rupees kind of portfolio. So he doesn't service his loan despite calling, reminding and things like that. Then he comes and dumps entire 3-4 months interest and upgrades the account and start operating it. So if he doesn't do that, we end up selling the gold in extreme circumstances and having the recovery, which we don't want to do because we want the account, we want him to continue to operate because it's a high yielding portfolio.
Correct. And this product didn't exist earlier, pre-COVID?
It existed earlier, but what has happened is RBI has changed the norms on November 12th. Previously, what RBI had said before November 12th is that at the end of the year, the debits and credits should match, not during the year. You can read the circular on November 12th. It also said, please educate customers on this particular aspect. So we are educating the customers saying that, look, on an everyday basis, you have to keep servicing. Every month, you have to keep servicing, not just accumulate that. We have achieved a lot on that, yet on a, we have to comply with the new guidelines. So on the OD product of gold loan, this problem is happening. We hope to lick this in about 3-4 months when customers will be fully on board in terms of the practice of paying it on a regular basis. So
correct.
And I don't think you should annualize the 378 because it will be coming to wrong conclusions about our portfolio.
Correct. Understood. And the last question is on your restructured book. So while you said that different accounts have different moratorium, but is it fair to say that all the accounts are paying interest and moratorium is only on the principal?
No. The moratorium means the guy will not pay. If I give him a 3-month moratorium, he will pay nothing for 3 months. If I give him 6 months moratorium, he will pay nothing for 6 months. Then at the end of 6 months, they will come to the normal billing, whatever we have agreed as the normal billing after the end of 6 months, they will start getting billed and the collection team will collect. In fact, we are actually collecting a lot of installments from moratorium customers also in advance and keeping it because those customers are, many customers are saying, look, I want to remain in moratorium, but I want to pay the installment. So we are collecting the installment and keeping it. As they come out of the moratorium, we start applying those installments.
So what percentage of the restructured book has not paid a single EMI last quarter?
I have given you all the details on in the collection efficiency. This is all we can disclose, my friend. We can't disclose more than this. Any other bank discloses all that, come to me and show me, then I will try to understand whether we need to disclose that. Okay? Please refer to item number 10 on collection efficiency. We have given you enough data for you to go by.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one.
Okay, if no one is in the queue, then we can close this call, operator. Thank you very much for your help. Thanks everyone for logging into this call. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to talking to you next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of DCB Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.